Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we've been concerned with the issue of Kamlei Ben Rabba Mine. We were trying to figure out why it would be that you would be potter, and how you could be chayev at the same time for two things that don't seem to be related. And the last thing that we came about, we were trying to figure out what the nafkamina would be if you hold that the din of Reb Nechunya Ben Akona, that koret is like also mitat beit din. Whether that's a din dafkin karet, or whether that's a din also in mitah bidei shamayim, or anything at all. And we couldn't figure out how the nafkamina would logistically work out. How could you be chayev at the same time for a chiev of stealing truma, and at the same time for the chiev mitah bidei shamayim of eating truma, since it would seem that whatever you do first would be kaina before you actually ended up eating. We had a number of possibilities. One possibility, the last possibility that we said was Rav Ashi, who said there's not even a problem, because the only problem was based on the assumption that it needs to be a single maaseh that will be machayev two separate things. But if we're ready to say that it's not the single maaseh that's important, it's only the simultaneity that's important, so then if I could simultaneously do something which is machayev mimi tabidei shamayim over here, the achilat truma, at the same time that I'm doing the other thing, which would be in this case, it could be even my own. He said, it could be my own truma, and it would be the nafkamina was I tore somebody's clothing. The question would, would I be chayef to pay for the clothing? Even though that has nothing to do with eating in the truma. That was the simplest solution. The reason we got into the problem in the first place was because of Rav Chista's mama, and Rav Nechunya ben Akona agrees that in a case where we can isolate, first, let's say, a kinyan that would be v'chayef you mamon, and then the act which would be v'chayef you, the whatever it is the kamlei ben rabba mina is, the karet, the mitah, that certainly in that case you would be chayev, because there's no simultaneity. There's no simultaneity neither of maaseh nor of time. And that's what we want to look into today. What really defines the simultaneity of maaseh? So we're up to the top line, gufa. Omer Rav Chista, Moder Reb Nechunya ben Akona begonev chelbo shel chaviro v'yachlo shel chayav shekvar nitchayev begnevat kodem shevo lidei yisrochev. The way that this all started, the way we got all of our problems into place, was by quoting Rav Chista's Ma'amar, according to which Reb Nechunya ben Akona, who says that karet is the same din as mitan, he would say that you would be potter, therefore on tashlumim, in cases where there were a chiyuv karet, but he would certainly agree where the acts or the times are not simultaneous. So somebody then first steals his friend's chelev, which is a chiyuv karet if he eats it, and then he eats it. So obviously he's going to first be chayev on the gneva, and then he's going to be chayev on the chelev, and then never the twain shall meet, and what does that have to do with pottering him from Kamlei Ben Rabba Mineh? There's nothing that puts these two acts together. Now, does this mean that he is arguing on Rabbi Avin? Because Rabbi Avin says an interesting thing that seems to contradict the idea that we require simultaneity. He says, Azoreg chetz, mitchilat abra lesof arba, v'karashi ra'in b'halitho patur, shakiran, tzorech anachayi. He says an interesting thing. Simultaneity is not defined by the moment, and it's not defined by the single act. It's defined by the length of the act, however long that takes. Let's say somebody shoots an arrow on Shabbat, and this arrow on its way from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabin goes through somebody's clothesline and tears somebody's clothing. Now, meanwhile, this guy's being mechalel Shabbat, but he's also tearing the other person's clothing. So Tainas, the what seems to be over here, that which is chaylik on Rav Chista, Rav Avin, that this is considered to be all one long maaseh, because when you shot the arrow, basically you were doing the first part of the maaseh of hotza'ah, because you can't do a hotza'ah without three elements: akira, where you remove something from the reshutin which it is, and then you have the passing over from one reshutin to the other, and then you have the hanacha, the new reshutin, where it lands. Since the hotza'ah is defined as a long action which begins from the shooting of the arrow to the landing of the arrow, anything that takes place in between is viewed as part of that maaseh, and therefore the cutting of the clothing on the clothesline is part of the hotza'ah. But if that's the case, we say the same thing over here. We could say that the hagba'ah guy's about to eat chelev, so he picks up the chelev in order to eat it. So then that means that this is one act. He's picking it up, and he's eating. Now with that one act of picking up and eating, because it's the same thing over here, shooting an arrow, traveling, and landing, that's all one act. So here, the picking up, eating, is all one act. And therefore, according to that, Rav Chista should never have said that Rav Nechunya ben Akona would be beida, that if you're going to chelev shel chaver, because how are you going to get into your mouth? You have to pick it up. But in picking it up, you did two things. You got it partway to your mouth, which is the tzorach achila, And you also took it out of the rishus of the other guy, which was mechayev you on stealing the chalav. So there you go. It ought to be defined as simultaneous, and it's wrong to think that simultaneous means a particular instant of time and of a maisa. Maisa can extend over a long period of time.
On a continuum.
Yeah, to continue, exactly. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara, well, I understand what the comparison is, for God's sake. Hachi hashto, what kind of ridiculous comparison is that? Hanacha and Akira are interrelated as far as the definition of Otsa'a is concerned. We're not talking about logistics, we're talking about definitions. You cannot have a Otsa'a that is Mechayev Yohan Shabbat if you don't do an Akira, which is lifting something up in the Rishut HaYachid, where you're going to be taking it out from. And therefore, over there, of course, E'efshar l'hanacha below Akira. There's no way to achieve a Hotza'ah without this. But over here, there's no... What are you telling me? You can't eat something unless you lift it up? What kind of ridiculous thing is that? Bend your head and bite it on the ground. What does lifting something up have to do with eating? Well, because you decided to eat it by lifting it up, so therefore it becomes an integral part of eating. It's absurd. So where you're talking about a maaseh that is so defined by the nature of things, here the nature of hotza'ah, fine, then I understand that in the process of that nature of hotza'ah maaseh, in which I tore the shiroi and shochaveri on his clothesline, that's indeed one maaseh. But because I accidentally, so to speak, coincidentally, decided to lift something up in order to eat it, instead of being a slob and putting my mouth on it and eating it.
Pie eating competition.
Yeah, exactly. Classic pie eating competition. That's right. Whoever heard of lifting up the pie? Exactly. You'd be puzzled if you lived
that's
up
right. You're not allowed to touch it.
You're not allowed to touch it at all. So there you go. So clearly, Agba'ah is not Tzorach Achila. That's one answer. Now, there's also another answer that makes it completely not comparable, because you can also say, Inami, Hatani Baila Durlo Matsimahadale, Ochi Matsimahadale. There's no way to compare an action which the action is the completion of something that cannot be changed. I let go of the arrow. The moment I let go of the arrow, however long the arrow flies and the landing of the arrow is all innate in my letting go of the arrow. I shot the arrow. I can't turn it back. So therefore, it's all one long action that derives from one event. The fact that that event plays out over time is irrelevant. It's all one event. Mashenkein over here, I lift it up, yes. And now what? Well, now you eat it. Ah, so don't eat it. I mean, obviously, there's nothing that connects now the fact that I lifted it with my eating it, except the decision that, okay, now I will eat it. So how could that be one maaseh? So it's completely, on any level, it's not comparable to two cases. I don't know what you're asking me from Reb Avin and Reb Chista. They're talking about two completely different cases. And by the way, says the Gemara, the two approaches that we just had make a major nafkamina. I mean, my ika ben ailishna, la ailishna. Here, take it, imagine a case like this. A guy is carrying a knife in Rishut HaRabim, and Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim carries that knife, and at any time he could stop, but he didn't stop. He keeps walking, and on his way, he cuts the guy's clothesline. No? So over there, what are you going to say? That it's all part of the Maasev Hotza'ah? No, I could stop at any time. So if you're going to tell me, if it's a question not of a logistical interrelationship, but we're talking about the way in which the Torah defines the act of Hotza'ah, so look, it's all one Hotza'ah, as defined by the Torah, the fact that I could stop would make an afkamina. But according to the other Teretz, it's all defined by the logistics. There's nothing in my single act of starting to walk with that knife that relates the end of the act, where I continue to walk with the knife after I tear the guy's clothing and I now do a hotza'ah, so stop. So don't do a hotza'ah. So therefore, there was tremendous afkamina halacha between the two terutzim. If the first teretz is correct, and we focused on the way in which a maaseh is defined in the Torah instead of defined by the way in which it's physically caused by a particular event, so then in this case, it's still defined by the Torah as one act of hotza'ah. You start walking, walk, end walking, and all of that is one act. So whatever takes place during the course of it is one hotza'ah of Shabbat. But if we're talking about letting go of an arrow being the act which now includes within it all of the events that follow causally from my letting go of the arrow, which would include both a hotza'ah and tearing the guy's clothesline, so in this case, obviously, there is no one moment that does that. At one point, I walk with my knife, I tore the clothes. At the next moment, I walk with my knife, and I walk further, and I do a hanach and rishus harabim. So therefore, there's a tremendous nafkamina.
What about lifting the arrow? As an act? lifting the veil as an act. It's not relevant to the...
It's relevant.
What he's chayev, kareis, and this and that, that's his own personal individual thing. What he's chayev to the other person for causing his damage is a completely separate issue.
So it's you don't like the din of kam le ben rabbi minei.
What?
You don't like the din of kam le ben rabbi minei. Well, all right. You could try writing another Torah. Or there is another solution. The point is a well-taken point, and indeed many Rishonim say, the halacha of kam le ben rabbi minei, when I owe somebody something, I'm not going to pay him his money because of the fact that I was mechalel Shabbos, which seems outrageous, you know, on the surface, is only a halacha in Beit Din. In other words, Beit Din cannot enforce the payment because they are forced to relate to this maaseh in terms of his chiyuv vis-a-vis the shamayim. But that doesn't potter the person. So he still has exactly the same chiyuvim as he always had. The only thing is that we can't get the court involved. So whenever it's nogea, there's the chiyuv, at least the chiyuv bidei shamayim, possibly even more than that, in terms of the other person's tvisa and so on and so forth. That's already a machlokas, how far we go. But your point is well taken without rewriting the text. That's good. It's better that way. Better. Good. I mean, the implications... the implications would have been very, very drastic. If we don't hold this, then the implications would be drastic in terms of the interrelationship of the human. Gufa. Right? Let's just read that inside, because I explained it outside. So the nafkamina would be, ikbinayu, ha-ma'avir sakin b'rushut ha-rabim, v'karashi ra'im b'halichato. So if you're talking about while he was walking, instead of shooting arrows, he was walking with a knife. So the hachlish nedabit I efshar lahanacha below akira, kanami efshar lahanacha below akira. If the problem is only that we're trying to define the maisa al piyatera, this defines the maisa al piyatera. Lahachlish the amrit lo matzi nahadela. But if it's a question of the logistics, and it's all one act, one single cause for all of the events that follow, so then in this case that's not true because over here matzi nahadela. Fine. Gufa. Let's take a look now at Rabbi Ovin's case and consider Rabbi Moti's insight into what the cases might be. Rabbi Ovin said that someone who is Zorek Chetz B'Tchilat Arba, L'Sof Arba, V'Karashi Ra'im Balichato Patur, She'Akira Tzarech Hanachai. Now, we have what appears to be a very similar case, and this breaks down in that case. Because Moti Rabbi Be'Barabai, from the famous case of Hagonev Kis B'Shabbat Chayav. Somebody steals a guy's wallet on Shabbat. And he walks out with the wallet from the guy's Rishut. Now, in that case, he's Chayav, because Kvar Nitchayev B'Gneva Kodem Shiyavo Lidei Isur Skila. He would be Chayav before he did Dotsa'a. He lifted the guy's wallet from his pocket in his Rishus, puts it in his own pocket. At that moment, he becomes now the Baalim in terms of the Chiyav of Onasim, Gneva, and so on. Now he walks out with it. I mean, he's obviously not going to sit there with a guy's stolen wallet, so he walks out with it and goes into Rishut HaRabim. Our president has returned after a long absence. What do they play for a president in South Africa? That's not in South Africa.
Some things don't change.
Mr. President,
I say the Queen.
But South Africa doesn't have a vote. President, is that the same thing?
Still doing shoes?
Yes, still doing shoes. It's not that long. Moshe?
Something is going to change.
When you have a hand for it.
Okay, guys. So now, it says over here that despite the fact that he's on his way out, when he lifts this guy's wallet, he's potter because at the time that he lifted the wallet, he was already kainet before he was chayev on the hotza'ah. Now, if it is true that we define the solution that we just had between Rav Chista and Rav Ovin by saying that it's all a function of the Torah's definition of a single maaseh, then we must admit that the akira of the wallet from the guy's back pocket is an essential part of the removal of the wallet into Rishut HaRabim, and therefore is an essential part of the Chiyuv on Shabbat, correct?
We can't be saying that he's saving Tosis,
it from Tosis
carrying,
is learning,
carrying himself.
No. Tosis learns that, indeed, we're only asking according to that teretz. If it's a question of the causal teretz, the second teretz, then okay, then you don't have to necessarily walk out with the wallet. But assuming the first teretz is correct. So then over here, why does it say you were chayav in Geneva before you came lidei yisur skila? We already got a problem. On the other hand, hayah megarer v'yotzei megarer v'yotzei. Suppose he never lifted up the wallet. Suppose he sees the wallet on the ground. And he sort of kicks it out with his foot, you know, as he's walking out, he's dragging the wallet along. Goes across the boundary between this guy's Rishus and the Rishut HaRabim, so we think at this point. And at that moment that he's now removes it from the other guy's Rishus, at that moment he's Chayev and Otsam Rishut HaYachid Rishut HaRabim. So then he would be Potter. Shari Yisur Shabbat V'gneva Ba'inkechad. In that case, he stole it at exactly the same instant as he did the Chilul Shabbat.
Even though he hasn't lifted it, so to speak, but literally lifted it. Anyway.
Right, exactly, because I don't have to, because now by removing it from his Rishus, I did the Gneva. Now, but I don't understand. Why can't we say even in the first case where I lifted it out of his pocket that the lifting of the wallet was necessary in order to do the Akira for the Otsah? And therefore, Hachinami Lema, Hagba'a, Tzorech Otsa'ai, we should say in this case also that the lifting is part of the requirement of the Otsa'ah. Well, that's because it's talking about over here that when you initially lifted the wallet out of the guy's pocket, the intent was not to take it into the Rishut HaRabim. The intent was to hide it somewhere behind a rock and then come back and recover it later. So when he really did initially the Agba'ah, was not a Tzorech Hotza'ah, it was Higbi'o Al-Manat La'atzni'o. He was going to hide it. Then he looks around, casually of course, very casually, as he's whistling, notices there's no place that he could safely hide the wallet. And at that point he decides to walk out with the wallet. But that means that the original Akira was not part of the Tzorech Hotza'ah. So he becomes now a Nimlach Alav Otzio. When he's Nimlach Alav, it's the Hamlacha now that becomes the first moment of Otzio. That moment when I decide to be Motzi. That's the first moment of the Hotza'ah. But by that time, I already lifted the wallet. And so Mamela, we kept Chayev on the Geneva first and remained a separate issue when it was I was taking it out. Says the Gemara, no, that doesn't work at all. Because it says the reason that you're putter is because you first became chayav on the wallet and only subsequently became chayav on the hotzah. But in this case, you would never become chayav on the hotzah, you see? Because if your original akira was not in order to do hotzah, then you never did a hotzah that's mechayav you. Because when we say that you need akira and hotzah and hanacha, we mean very seriously, you need the one act and the intent of the hotzah. The melechet machshevet of hotzah and Shabbat is lift up, walk out, sit down. If my initial intent was lift up, don't walk out, and now I say, okay, now I'll walk out, I don't have a hagba'ah over here, an akira that was with Tzorech Hotza'ah at all. And therefore, Esti Gemar v'chihai gavda mimichayev, I wouldn't even be chayev on Shabbat in that case. So therefore, it's an irrelevant case. You can't say the reason I'm chayev is because I picked up the wallet. That's not why you're chayev. The reason that you're chayev is because you're a ganav. You never did any chilul Shabbos. What are we talking about over here? So the case is absurd that you're telling me, because Omer Rabbi Simon, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, HaMifanech HaFetzim Mizavit L'Zavit. A guy is moving things from one corner of his house to the other corner. All of a sudden, he decides, you know what, I really don't have room for this chair. And he takes it outside, and he puts it down outside. So in that case, he's putter, because his initial intent in lifting up the chair was not to take it outside of the door, into the Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, still no good. Because the case cannot be that he had in mind to hide the wallet, where the whole thing breaks down. He says, okay, fine. Lo tema amanat latsnio. You're right. He lifted up the wallet, and indeed his intent was lahotzio. So, lo tema amanat latsnio. Lema amanat lotzio. You're right. It has to be talking about that he has intent to indeed to take it out, and therefore there would be a din of hotza'ah. But the reason over here that he's potter is because Achum Ayaskinan Kishamat. The guy stood still. So that standing still ruins his original Akira. Therefore, the Akira of lifting the wallet is now bought. Now he's going to walk out, so that's a separate act. So be chayev on that separate act, but he was already chayev for stealing a wallet, which wasn't part of the hotza'ah. So the Gemara, but when you say he stood still for what purpose? Amad lamad. Ilikatev, did he stand still in order to adjust the place of the wallet in his pocket or on it? Ketev is a technical word which is usually used. I mean, literally, it means your shoulders. Obviously, he's not carrying his wallet on his shoulders. Means adjusting a load.
This is the case of the chair?
We're still talking about the wallet, but we're using the technical term for a hotza'ah, something that requires adjusting a load. So in this case...
We're learning the wallet from the chair case, possibly. Mm-hmm. That is an example. Just about moving a chair, and then he decides he's going to take it outside.
Yeah.
So now applying that to the wallet case. Okay.
Yes. In general, what we do is we take model cases, right, and we use the terms that apply to that model case. We use the terms across all of the way that these dinim are involved. So in this case, if he stood only to adjust the load, it's part of a normal walking. So that's called urchehu. That's not considered to be mevatel, the original akira. That's part of the original akira and hotzah. That's what you do. You stand still for a moment. I'm not going to say that that's a bittul of your original akira. If, what are we talking about? Therefore, we've got to be talking about Ela Ba'omed Lafush, that he actually stood still for a moment. He wanted to rest. You know, it's a heavy wallet. I mean, this guy doesn't steal just little wallets. So he wants to take a little rest. Okay. So then you're telling me that the reason that he's chayiv separately is because the original akira was now bittul, and now we've got another act of an akira that ends with the hanocha. And it's unassociated with his geneva. So then what are you telling me? That had it been leketef, had it been just that he's going to sit still to adjust the load, what would the din have been? The din would have been that he's putter. Okay, so then if that's the case, why change the case so drastically to talk about the case where the guy is dragging the wallet so that the guy doesn't notice and he brings it out to Rosh Hasharabim and over there, the Chiyav of Shabbos and the Chiyav of the wallet come at the exact same moment because it crosses the line. I mean, what do you tell me that case for? You could have simply said, Nifla Beditni Bedida. Say the same case. I told you a case, you pick up a wallet and you're putter. But of course, you're only putter where you stood still for a minute to rest. But if you didn't stand still for a minute, I'll tell you a bigger chiddush, even if it didn't happen at the instant that you crossed the line. But it's all one act of otzah. Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that far more reasonable to tell me that chiddush? Tell me the case where you're kicking the wallet and getting it out of the rishus? Do I have to change so drastically the case? Tell me, niflog v'dida b'med, v'ari b'amurim b'omed lafush. If you're talking about where the guy was standing still to do a little fishing expedition, that's fine. Avala ketev patur, but if he sits still for a minute only to adjust the wallet's position, he would be putter even though it was a long maisa, but it's all defined as one single maisa, it's akira with the hanocha and everything that came in between. So I cannot accept this approach at all. This can't be the way to understand that it's potter. It's got to be that he's potter indeed for some reason, no matter how it is that he's walking, which implies that the fact that we define hotza'ah as akira and hanocha is not sufficient to tell me that you're going to be potter. It's only where it comes at the exact same moment, where I got the wallet out with my tozi right as it comes out of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRab. That's where I'm chayav, but otherwise, that's where I'm putter, because I'm chayav mis at the same moment. But if I walked out, no way. So that seems now to tell us that our earlier approach was wrong. We don't create a single maisa to pot you for kamlei b'rabim yinei, where there's no simultaneity. No, says the Gemara, not true. There's another issue that you're not taking into consideration, my friend. Supposing this bright over here, this Mishnah over here is going according to Ben Isaac. Ben Azai Shita, as we saw in Masechet Shabbat, is that you will never be considered doing a hotza'ah while you are walking from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. According to him, every mehalef is ka'omid. So as you walk, you put your foot down, you now sit still. You start walking again, you put your foot down, you say, but it only took a tenth of a second. That's irrelevant. If we break down with a stroboscope, we break down your actions, we will see that they consist of a moment in which you're not in movement. Maybe it is only a tenth of a second, so. But at that moment, we view you as not being in movement. You're now in movement again. This becomes now a new akira. Therefore, according to the halach of Ben Azek, it's not because you were omed lafush, it's because every walking consists of a series of steps in which each new step is considered to be a new akira. And that's the point. There's no way that we could have changed the case other than through grira, where it's being dragged now, when it's dragged, so then when it crosses the line, that's the case, according to Ben Azar, where you could have a halacha of hotzah coming at the same time to Pati for Kibbalah bin Rabbi Meir. But in a case where you lift the wallet and then you have to walk out of the rishus, By definition, since Mahalak is Ka'ined, you'll never have the Akira of the wallet being the actual Akira. It's only the last instant of lifting your step and walking across the line. That's the only case, which is the case of Grira. So I'm telling you the case of Grira. That's why I needed to say the case. Now, hold on a second. Wait. Even according to Ben Azai, there still is an easier way than to talk about Grira. Because if the point of Ben Azai is that walking is a series of steps, each one being a finite step, and we have to separate it, then according to Ben Azai, why couldn't we simply illustrate the contrast, not with the case of Grira, but with the arrow? In other words, all Ben Azai is saying is that if you walk, it's a series. But if you throw, if you shoot, so he's also noted that it's not a series. So take a case, which is exactly the same case, and talk about throwing it instead of talking about walking it. Then you don't have the problem at all, right? So then I have the same question of, if it's going according to Ben Azai, instead of saying, all you have to say is, when do we say that you were chayev in the Geneva before you came to the Chiyav Avotzah, that's Dafka, where you were Mahalech. Avol Zorek, had you thrown it now with your hand, and therefore we would be able to break it up into a series of finite steps, then you would be indeed Patur, because then it's all considered to be one long action. Because that seems, as Tosis explains, why is that more similar, right? Why is that more similar than the Megarer? Saying lifrog velisni bidida means stick with the same case. Why is throwing more similar to the case of walking than dragging? This explains clearly it's more similar because what we're trying to show is exactly we're trying to show the Akira and Anocha concept, that to try to isolate a case in which the Geneva comes at the exact instant of crossing the Rishus is not the main point that we're looking for. The main point we're looking for is where I don't have to associate the Akira of the wallet with the Akira of the Hotzah. Okay, so contrast it with a case where I do associate the Akira of the wallet with the Akira of the Hotzah. That makes much more sense to illustrate that to talk to me about a case where you're dragging it over, where it has nothing to do with the Akira at all. It has nothing to do with the lifting. It has to do with the Kenyan. Says the Gemara, because Lamaisa, we are interested in telling you a separate Chiddush. There's a separate Chiddush in Megarer V'Yotze that otherwise I wouldn't have. Megarer V'Yotze, it's Trichale. Tzakadai Techamina Ein Derech Hotzah Abikar. It's another issue. I might have thought that Bechalal, you're not Chayev on Shabbos, taking something out in that fashion. That's not a real Hotzah, but dragging it along the ground and shiftily getting the wallet out of there. I mean, the Hotzah is meant to be Hotzah. Stand up like a man, pick something up, walk out and put it down. Maybe that's Bechalal not called Hotzah, since there's no real clear-cut Akira, no clear-cut Anocha. What kind of Hotzah is that? Kamashmalan, that's also good enough Hotzah. So in order to tell me that Chiddush, I'm ready to be Mevater on my similar, slightly more similar to the case of Bediba. So at the time I wanted to tell me Begar V'yotze. Okay, so let me ask you something again now. You're saying that I would have thought it's not the Derech Hotzah. Well, what's the case? I mean, are we talking about something that is big enough to be uncomfortable to carry? So then obviously that's a Derech Hotzah. When I'm a chuyif to lift something up, I mean, if it's a very big thing, then I want to slide it out better, no? So Iberav Revei Urcheyu. You're talking about something big, then that's the derech. Maybe it's not a wallet. Maybe I'm stealing the guy's barbecue. When I got to lift up the barbecue, somebody's going to tell me, I have to lift up the barbecue. I'm akbar on muktzah. I want to take it out shalokah derech. I mean, if I'm stealing, it doesn't mean I have to be akbar on muktzah. It's okay. I want to kick it out. I mean, obviously, it's heavy. Ibezutre. If you're really talking about a wallet, then the fact is that it's not the derech of moving a wallet. Whoever heard of moving a wallet by moving it along the ground and dragging it, I mean, then it would not be worth it. So what is the case? I don't understand. You're saying the case is that I would have thought, if there was grounds to would have thought, so maybe indeed that's the truth. Well, it's talking about b'mitzin. So it's something that is, you know, middle size. So there are people who might lift it. So you might think if it's equally liftable, that maybe Hotzah, as all Malachot Shabbat are supposed to be done in the most effective fashion. When they're done in less than the effective fashion, we say it's not the derech to do it that way. That's a Hotzah where you carry something in a way that it's not normally carried, it's not, you're not going to be chayev. So if you're carrying your pencil instead of carrying it the way you normally would, you would stick it on your nose or something, then you're not going to be chayev. Yeah? So maybe this is not chayev, kamashmalan that you are. Okay, now let me ask you something else. How do you raise the point? Could you tell me where you kicked the wallet out to? I mean, you lifted the wallet in the guy's rishos. You took it out Where? To Rishus Rab. I mean, because you want to be chayiv. I mean, we're talking about a case of chayiv Shabbos. Okay. So the Afkei Laicha, tell me where you took the wallet out to. I mean, if you took a wallet out to Rishus Rab, you're not going to a wallet to Rishus Rab. Rishus Rab belongs to everybody. So how exactly were you kona that wallet by removing it from the guy's Rishus into Rishus Rab, and what made it yours? You're saying that at the instant that I crossed the line between his Rishus and Rishus Rabim, I now accomplished the Geneva. I don't. How did I accomplish the Geneva? Even if you hold that Arba Amais of a person are kona lo Rishus Rabim, but that, as Tosis explains, that's not to be kona somebody else's thing. That's to be kona in cases where there's a Mitzia or something, right? I don't know, I found something. Okay, fine. But over here, how is that exactly going to be a kinyan bichlam? Ida afkei reshut hayachid, and if, well, he said, what do you have to take it to Rishus Rabim? You moved it into the adjoining property, which was your house. So now you're carrying it in your yard. It's a good neighbor. Okay, so you kicked the wallet into your Rishus, so now you're carrying it because your Rishus is carrying it. But then there's no Chiyuv of Shabbos. Where's the Chiyuv of Shabbos? And being, taking something from one Rishus Rabim to another Rishus. One Rishus Yoch to another Rishus Yoch. So then it's a Geneva, maybe Ika, but then there's no Rishus Shabbos. So something's wrong over here. Lo tzricha, the case could only work out where afkei litzidei Rishut HaRabim. What you did is, you took it out to the edges of the Rishut HaRabim, where we have that protected area. And it's true that sometimes traffic is forced into that little protected area between the poles and so on. But it's possible to be kaina there. Well, I don't. What are you saying? If you hold like Rebbe Eliezer, I thought Rebbe Eliezer holds that tzidei Rishut HaRabim, this he says in Masechet Shabbat, tzidei Rishut HaRabim, have a din of Rishut HaRabim. So if they have a din of Rishut HaRabim, so then okay, you've got an Isser Shabbos, because you took it out of Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim, but you can't have an Isser Geneva, because you never kind of. If you're talking about according to the Rabbanan in Masechet Shabbat, who holds today Rishut HaRabim, Lavka Rishut HaRabim Damo, and that's considered to be a Rishut HaYachid area, so then you have the Isser Geneva, but you didn't take it into Rishut HaRabim. So it would be more like a to a Carmelite or something. Isser Shabbat Leka. So I don't understand. Says the Gemara, who says that the two are interrelated? You can hold like Rebbe Eliezer, that Tzidei Rishut HaRabim have a din of Rishut HaRabim, but vis-a-vis what do they have a din of Rishut HaRabim? Ki Omer Rebbe Eliezer, Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, Ki Rishut HaRabim Dami, he was talking about Le'inin Chiyuv of the Shabbat, because to measure the Chiyuv on Shabbat, it's measured by the fact, says Rebbe Eliezer, the Zimnin Dedachki Rabim Va'ayle Lahatam. Since that area is available at times when there's a lot of traffic for people to use, so it remains a Rishut HaRabim area in terms of Rishuyot of Shabbat. But in terms of kinyan, le'inyan mikne koni, my time at Elo Shvichi Rabim. The only reason you can't be kona in Rishut HaRabim is because there's nothing there that signifies that this area is your usage. Everybody's walking here, but that's not the normal case of Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. So therefore, in Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, Rebbe Eliezer's moda. That, of course, in terms of kinyonim, you would be kona. And therefore, for Shabbos, it's Rishut HaRabim. For kinyonim, it's Rishut HaYochid. And that would be the case.
For Kinyonim Rishus Yochid only when there's not a lot of people around, or low
plural? Right.
Only when there's not a lot
of people around. Yeah, whereas Rishus HaRabim has nothing to do with how many people are there. That's how many people could be there. Okay.
That's for Shabbos.
Yeah.
And for Kinyon, when
for
there's
Kinyon
not
has
people,
to do with my ability to be Miyachid the Kinyon for myself. And there's no interest, I'm Miyachid for myself. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, what's the problem? The case of the Megarer V'Yotzei is indeed talking about Rishus HaRabim. So you're saying, so how is he Kainet? Very simple. As our president indicated earlier, he put his hand there. That's all. If you put your hand down on the ground and then you sort of shuffled it out into your hand, so then at that point you'd be kind of. So there you were makablet. Your hand was still somuch to the ground. It was lovut to the ground. So there was never a hagbah beforehand of any kind. What happened over here is you were makablet in the Rishut HaRabim. And just as Rava said, just like Rava said vis-a-vis Shabbat, that even though normally you need to land on something which is 4x4 tvachim in order for it to have a mokum chashuv, to be considered a hanacha, over here, indeed, it's a mokum hanacha, because it's your hand, and your hand, yador shel adam, is the equivalent of 4x4. The same way it's chashuv in terms of landing there on Shabbat. So over here, where it's part of the Rishut HaRabim, it's chashev in terms of the kinyan as well. So there, now this is very, very strange. And Tosfos goes, absolutely, he says, this is the craziest thing I ever heard this Birush on the Gemara. What in the world does the connection of chashuv alo arba al arba have to do with kinyanim? It's completely unrelated.
Over here, on the contrary, we're saying he didn't lift the three tefachim because we don't want there to be the problem of no chilul Shabbos. If I never took it in Rishus HaRabim, so then I never did a chilul Shabbos. So it has to be in Rishus HaRabim. So I was in Rishus HaRabim, but I think Lamata Mishloisha. So I don't need, if it's Lamata Mishloisha, I don't need 4x4 Lagabe Shabbos. So what do I need 4x4? To bring a raya from Rava that just like Lagabe Shabbos, it's considered to be it's a Mokum Choshe for 4x4. So too, Lagabi Kinyonim, it's considered as if I was Magbia. It's what in the world is the connection between those two things? It's outrageous. Because of that, he has completely different gears in the Gemara. He takes out Rava. We're not talking about Rava at all over here. And it's not talking about Lagabi the Kinyonim. It's talking about Lagabi the Chiyav Shabbos, completely reversing the whole meaning of the Sugya. According to Rashi, the Gemara is making a very strange comparison between the dinim of Kinyonim of Hagbah and the halacha of a makom choshev in terms of the dinim of Shabbos. So we're saying, here, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's a Rishus HaRabim, because it's a matam mishalesh. But as far as kinyanim are concerned, it's considered to be a makom that is choshev on its own to be mine. And therefore, the moment that it gets there, you have two things that happen in one instant. Entry into Rishus HaRabim, because it's a matam mishalesh, and a kinyan in my Rishus, because my hand is choshev to me, and therefore it's considered to be a makom shamur, which is all my own, and legabi kinyanim, it's mine. Okay, this is, you must admit, we've been really pushed into the corner on this one. I mean, to figure out these two cases, I mean, both of them, like, the first part didn't make sense until we, like, really managed to whittle our way in, like, then I was like, okay. The last case didn't really make sense until we had this crazy case, the guy's bending over, he kicks it into his hand's like a little shovel. Very, very strange case. But what can we do? At least there's nothing innately against Rav Ovid Svara in this case. We would not want to have problems with this mission. Okay, that's one approach. However, there's a much simpler approach, says the Gemara. Rav Acha held of this approach, and he was Matzni, okay, that's the way he said it, but that's because he had bought into the idea that you cannot have a Kinyan in Rishus HaRabim. But if you don't hold of that idea, then you got no problem at all, because Ravina says, I don't understand what's the problem. Why can't he be talking about it? He takes it directly into Rishus HaRabim. And Rishut HaRabim, Nami Kana, a person, his Arba Amis can be Kenyan Rishut HaRabim, not only from cases of a Mitzia. Even where people are going to argue with him and fight with him, it's considered to be a valid Kinyan. I disagree with your original assumption. Your assumption all along, you've got to figure out some wild case where it has a din of Rishut HaRabim Legabi Shabbos, but has a din of your Rishut Legabi Kinyanim. You don't need for something to be in your Rishut Legabi Kinyanim. You could be kind of in Rishus HaRabim, says Ravina. And that way we avoid the whole problem. What are they arguing in? Tavayo b'diyukad ach matznisa kemichya. They're both looking into how to be medayik. The following Mishnah in Baba Kama, where it says, I am moshchel v'yotzei. A guy now is stealing a sheep. Okay, so he's dragging it and taking it out now into another Rishus. And it dies. Gets a heart attack from all of this. I mean, it's manhandling. So it dies. So if it died, Bereshit HaBa'alim, so now it's potter. Still, I was never kainit. What do you want from me? It's about, you're telling me you got a sensitive sheep, so therefore I'm chayiv because I got scared for me. That's a groma b'yamot. I'm not chayiv on that. Still in the Rishus HaBa'alim, I was never kainit to be mischayiv ba'onasim. It died. It's an act of God. What can you do? But suppose I lifted it. Igbiyo. Oh, Shotziom Rishut Ba'alim. Now, that's interesting. Two possibilities. I lifted it up, and or I took it out of the Rishut of the Ba'alim. Huh. Now, that's going to be our diag. And then it dies, so then I'm chayav. So Rav Acha says, now, wait a second. Let's look carefully at that, at the last words. He was medayik v'seifa. It says over there, Higbi O Shotziom. Okay, now, that tells me that we're talking about a Hotza'ah, which has the qualities of the Hagba'ah. Now, Hagba'ah, there's nobody who will argue about the fact that when I lift up something, I make a kinyan on it. Okay? So I lifted it up. At that moment, it became mine to be mitchayev on it. That's all very nice. So that means if I'm talking about taking it out of the rishus of the ba'alim, so then it has to be the type of hotza'ah, af hotza'ah nami da'ati l'rishutei. It has to come into my rishut, which means it can't come just into rishut ha-rabim. It has to come into my personal rishut, which means that in the rishut ha-rabim, I wouldn't be chayev. So that's how I understand it. Now, the fact is that according to Ravina. Ravina diek mi reisha, Rav Acha diek mi seifa. Ravina diek mi reisha, yamoshcho v'yotzei, who made Rishut Ba'alim patur. Note, The Mishnah says, when am I potter? If the sheep drops dead in the rishus of the owner. Okay, but suppose it's not in the rishus of the owner. Okay, time and amazement, rishus ba'alim. Suppose I got it out of the rishus of the owner. It's already in the rishus of Rabbim, and we're casually walking down the street, and this sheep goes and dies on me after all of that trouble. So now, it's mashma from here that at that moment, the moment I'm motzi rishus ba'alim, I didn't get it into my own rishus yet, I simply was motzi rishus ba'alim. It's telling me that if it died, I'm chayiv, which clearly implies that if I got it out of the guy's rishus, I'm walking down the street, the rishus of Rabbim, I am chayiv in the onasim, I am the owner at this point, I am the ganav. That's what it seems to be saying to me. In which case, says Ravina, that shows you, you can make a kinyan on something, not by having to lift it up necessarily, not by having to bring it into your own rishus, but rather by getting it out of the other guy's rishus, which seems very reasonable to me. If you're stealing something, when you get it out of his house, you stole it. But Rav Acha is bedaik in the Sefer. The Sefer says, Yigbio Shotzio, which is mashma lehotzah, is like the Hagba'ah. Now, if the Hagba'ah is clearly, and nobody argues that Hagba'ah is considered to be atil rishuta, so the only type of otzah we're talking about is otzah into my own rishus, not otzah into rishut harabim. That's what I say. Now, the fact is that the two diukim are contradictory, so that the Rav Acha, he's got a problem with the Reisha. The Reisha seems to be saying, the moment I get it out of the guy's rishus, it's all over. But that's not true according to Rav Acha. And according to Ravina, it's kasha the last part, because the last part seems to be saying that when we're taking out a guy's rishus, it has to be similar to the Hagba'ah. Says the Gemara, so Ravina Kasha Seva, says the Gemara, both of them explain away the Mishnah. Rachel Rav Acha lo Kasha. Rav Acha says, well, I understand, what kind of diak is that? All it says is, if I got it out of the Rishus of the Baalim. Well, getting it out of the Rishus of the Baalim means getting it out of the Rishus of the Baalim. As long as it's not out of the Rishus of the Baalim, it's in the Rishus of the Baalim. In other words, when you say, if it died by Rishus of the Baalim, what do you think that means? That it's in his pen? It means nobody removed it from his technical Rishus. He is still the owner. So, exactly. He is still the owner. That's exactly what I'm saying. He's still the owner. What's your problem? You want to talk about actually removing it from his ownership? The Mishnah in the next piece makes it very clear what that consists of. Either Hagbio, that removes it from his ownership, or taking it into my house, that removes it from his ownership. Thank you very much. So what's the problem with the Mishnah? Ravina says, well, what's your big problem with the Sefer? I have to believe every diuk you make in the Mishnah. Hotza'ah dunya da Hagba. Bull. No Hotza'ah dunya or sheep. No, Hotza'ah dunya da Hagba'ah. Two different things. The Mishnah is telling me a Kiddush. Hagba'ah, that's clear. But even if you got it out, that's also enough. Hotza'ah dunya da Hagba'ah, lo amrinan, I don't believe in that diak. So therefore, it all adds up to me perfectly well. And we have a simple explanation. You can make a kinyan in Rosh Hashanah, that's considered to be Geneva. And therefore, are you making such a big deal over your Megar V'yotze? That's a classical case. Megar V'yotze, you moved it from a guy's rishus, brought in it to rishus harabim, you're the ganav, and it so happens to be you're also chayav on Shabbos at the same moment. Perfect case. If anything, this proves my contention.